adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction specialist. Hoobastank in here tonight. Dan and Doug both here from the band. Good to see these guys. I remember, you know, Drew, I only work off feelings.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's you.
I don't work in specifics. I work in feelings.
It's exquisite sensitive feelings.
And I was thinking, and here's all I think. I was thinking Hoobastank tonight, and then I thought, pain in the ass?
No.
No?
No.
No? I did a feeling.
Then, so we have feelings. The band names raise feelings.
They evoke certain emotions in you.
Yeah, good. Like at the drive-in, or
pain in the
a-holes.
Ass. Yeah, black grape?
Black grape. Oh, what happened to black grape? Hey, what about those a-holes Chumbawamba?
Yeah.
Oh, it's like, I can't even hear. Hey, someone brings up their name, I'm like, ugh, blur. Because you got to go in and you got to deal with these a-holes, you know? They right. sit there.
Like, Hoobastank,
smug.
It's like smiley feeling.
Hoobastank was like,
good feeling, yeah.
Yeah,
birds. That thing's, hey.
Yeah. No, like,
you got a tingling sensation in your body.
Yeah, I just remember, yeah, okay, we got no problem with those.
No problems.
Those kids. We're going to have a good time with Hoobastank. We're going to, those rock and roll kids. We're going to hear something off the new CD. Drew heard them playing acoustically moments ago.
Here on K-Rock, yeah,
yes.
Los Angeles. It was great.
Very impressed.
Yeah.
Yes, you were.
Yeah.
I noticed the guitar case is here.
They played in that room.
I know, but maybe at some point.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nah.
No.
Nah.
Yeah. You guys can't play twice in one night.
We're trying to be more, like, pain in the ass-ish
yeah.
tonight.
All right.
Well, so no acoustic for
we're going to start filling this out right now.
Yeah.
Actually, to be a pain in the ass.
Here we go.
Oh, no.
Watch out, his head explode.
That's Drew's test that he has everybody fill out. All right.
Hey, speaking of tests, emergency contraception today approved for over-the-counter use.
Bing, 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 bing,
yeah.
bing, bing,
big
bing,
day.
Bing, bing.
Big day. Holy Christ, that's a big day.
Yeah.
And by the way, some of the opponents showed their hands a little bit on really what was motivating them to come against this product. Which, by the way, if you're against this product, you're against all birth control.
Right.
One of the critics stated, "Women who use emergency contraceptive show an inability to control themselves in sexual situations."
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's their reason for Jennifer
stupid.
Taylor of the Anti-Abortion
stupid.
Human Life International.
What a
so
bitch.
So they're hiding in the shroud of being anti-abortion, which is a reasonable position to take.
Right.
But really taking the position of anti out of marriage sexual contact.
Yeah, well, how many times have I said that?
Yeah, here it is. Well, that's what they call it.
Look, whenever somebody has too much energy for something, it always means there's a dark, deep underbelly. It's like Strom Thurmond, you know? He's segregationalist. He doesn't want blacks and whites marrying. He wants them in the back of the bus and stuff. But meanwhile, he's boffing his 16-year-old maid, you know? There's always that energy. Mm-hmm. Always that energy. Mm-hmm. Preachers, this is why they always get... here's the deal. You shouldn't have too strong an opinion about anything. You should have a strong opinion about cars and music, and that's about it. Have a couple
tools.
Of favorite TV shows.
Right.
You shouldn't
Sports.
Be you shouldn't be out marching or chaining yourself to dump trucks or
it
anything like that. It always means something.
Yeah.
And the whole abortion thing, because Drew was saying, because we've been talking about this morning after pill for years, he would say, well, these people want to get rid of abortion. Here's a good way to get rid of abortion. Why aren't they embracing this? And I would say what, Drew?
He would say, you're an idiot, Drew. You don't understand. These people just don't want people to have sex. That's the.
They
that's
don't
their...
like the idea of free
getting
sex.
Getting away with it, yes.
You're getting away with it.
Like it's a crime.
Sex. No, if somebody picks up someone at a bar, takes them home and nails them and never talks to them again, that is what they're against. Not so much the product of that union. But it's that people can do this willy-nilly. And they never come out and say it. They just focus on the abortion part. But then, lo and behold, someone comes up with a magical pill that is going to do away with the abortion.
Right.
And they're dead set against it.
Yeah.
So
that's ridiculous.
Yeah,
my point is always, hey, do you want to help people out or you want to sit in an ideological
camp?
Well,
my point is if you're some Bible-thumping puss who thinks the earth is 2,000 years old and still in the cooling period, then say it.
Yeah, right.
Just be man enough to say, I didn't
opinion.
Get laid in high school. I had bad acne on my back.
Yeah, and I had all those problems, too, but I don't go screaming that
but
around.
But you
too.
Got into a band.
You solved it.
You solved
that problem.
You solved the riddle of not getting laid by getting in the band.
Yeah.
Yeah.
knew it was good for something.
I just mean, just say you don't think people should be having sex out
that's
of wedlock.
That's fine, right, that we can have that discussion. Right.
And we don't want, and now it's a different philosophical discussion right. we're having.
So now what are they going to say?
I don't. They're still against it.
Yeah, I want Walmart to eat the pharmacist over there to eat a little crow, because they're saying, oh, it's an abortion pill. No, hey, you're scientists, guys. You're professionals. Read the science. Come on.
Right. All right. It's good times. Anyway, that's the whole thing about this.
This is making me horny, man.
This guy, this country of ours. Someone comes up with a decent idea and never gets off the ground. All right, where are we?
Taking line one.
Line one. Going to hear something from Hoobastank, by the way, off The Reason, which just came out last Tuesday, 1 week ago. David?
Yeah.
You're 16?
Yeah.
You go limp when you're trying to have sex with your girlfriend?
Yeah.
Can't even get it in?
No.
Bad times.
Oh, that's bad.
I had a really, really close friend who had the same problem.
Oh, yeah. Really? Yeah, Adam, a friend.
My
friend.
Not on the radio.
Daryl.
And this is, it's 16, what's up? This is nerves, right?
Or medication. You on medication?
No.
Are you having medical problems?
No, not at all.
It's pretty heavy.
Like, the thing is, like, I'm a little bit small, I guess. Like, I'm like 5 3/4, and so.
That would be normal. That's normal.
That's less penis to inflate.
But the fact that you're concerned about it and it doesn't work right speaks volumes about how anxious and preoccupied and how low your self-esteem is.
Yeah. Is there anything worse than trying to thread that vaginal needle with a limp piece of thread? You know what I mean? Like, is that like the second you get that first sort of half bend or where the penis tacos and you're like, oh, Christ. And then there's nothing more pathetic than this sort of chub up / masturbation porn actor move. You know that move? Let me explain something.
No, please,
here.
Please, let me in on that.
If you watch the gangbang films, you'll realize there's a casual way to chub up that's not exactly masturbating. Like, there's beating off, and then there's maintaining blood in your penis. It's sort of, you know what joggers do at the stoplight? It just sort of.
It's the equivalent.
I'm just keeping the blood moving here. I don't want to cramp up. There's the guy. It's always a funny move too. It's sort of a half-assed beat off. Like, there's the gangbang film, and there's the guys that are waiting in line, and they're just sort of
they're just kind of wiggling it a little.
Yeah,
bit.
Yeah, ain't beating off. Oh, you'd know it if I was beating off. It's sort of a two-finger underhand kind of thing, and it's got a little circular motion to it. It's not a real piston-like action. It's a casual. Like you're talking to somebody. Hey, what's great? Is that a new watch? Nice. Yeah. So, that's an embarrassing move to do in front of a woman, though, because they immediately take it personally. Like,
yeah.
What's going on?
You need to do this?
Yeah. What's with the hand? Yeah. And then you get freaked out.
And it's, let me take care of that. And then it's all over.
David?
Yeah.
How long you been going out with this girl?
Almost 3 months.
You're 16. How old is she?
Have you had some successful sex with her?
Well, I'm, like, really good with everything else, and so, I mean, we were, like, ready to take it to the next level.
Have you had sex at all?
Ever?
I mean, I've gotten close so many times, but
no.
How many times have you tried it with this woman, this girl?
Tonight was the third.
Third time.
Yeah.
Well, you just be worried about it happening so much and make it happen. Because it's very common for guys, first one or two times out, very common to have a little failure.
It's also weird if you technically break the plane of the vagina, but it's with the side of your penis.
Yeah.
Not where it's like bended in the L.
Especially when it's a folded side.
That counts.
It counts, yeah.
It's good.
Oh, no, it's like in a car race. Sometimes a guy will spin out on the last lap and cross the finish line sideways with smoke coming out. That's basically what that's the equivalent
But you once, Adam, spoke about what it's like when the penis doesn't function, and it's especially when it's around anxiety.
No feeling.
But yeah, it becomes somebody else's penis.
Yeah. Who doesn't have a boner, by the way.
Right.
Yeah, it just doesn't, you lose feeling in it. Yeah, what is that, Drew?
That is anxiety.
Okay, but what, let me
that's
ask.
A, that's
let me,
a,
let me
that's
ask
association of the, what, from your body.
What is it about, why are we designed this way in that, you know, you're a little bit nervous, so your mouth gets a little dry, and you start perspiring, so you get that nice big flop sweat underneath your armpits, you know, and your teeth chatter a little bit,
and your penis
you get a little antsy, and your penis doesn't work. What, how does this serve us? Do you know what I'm saying?
Because in nature...
Forget about nature. I'm talking about you're going on, you're doing a talk show or a guest lecture or something.
Oh, why do we have those reactions?
All of a sudden, you got that weird gulp thing, and the cotton mouth, and the sweat pits, and you know, like... Huh? So everyone knows.
Why do we have nervousness?
I just mean, shouldn't we? Why can't we control it? Why shouldn't we get stronger?
Hey, listen,
more, what?
You give me grief all the time. I don't have external signs of this. I freeze. My brain freezes. I cease to be able to retrieve information.
Yeah.
So when I'm on the spot, I clam up. I can't. My brain freezes.
Yeah. Well, that's awful. I kickstart your brain.
Yeah, that's awful.
Why
should we have it? Why can't we control it?
Yeah. Why not?
You
don't know your brain.
I do know.
His brain froze.
That there's when you're traumatized growing up or neglected growing up, there's parcellations of those sorts of the autonomic nervous system from the integration of the rest of the brain.
What about just regular people? Why do we need to start sweating and getting cotton mouth when we're nervous, and it f's up our whatever we're doing even more? See what I'm saying?
Yeah, why can't we control that?
Why can't
more?
We lubricate nicely? Why can't we get a good boner and a nice
maybe in a million years we will, because that's a primitive fight or flight response to things.
Yeah, because our thing is like we're responding like we're getting attacked by Kodiak bear.
Right.
When the
right.
reality is we're just going out on
because
stage.
Because it's hard to run from a bear with a boner.
Yeah.
There you go. This guy's a genius.
Have you tried? Because
I hear it's really hard to run from wild animals with boners.
You have to tuck it up in the belt.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Didn't we talk about that last time you were here?
Yeah.
I don't know.
But if the bear has a boner, it does make it easier for you to run because the
it's
idea of being raped and eaten.
Yeah.
Raped and then devoured. What was the worst part? Being eaten by the bear? It's actually being raped.
Yeah.
Pre-eaten rape. He was eating me and raping. He was actually in me while he was eating my arm. Be a nice way to go, wouldn't it, Drew? All right. Sean?
Yeah.
What's up?
Hey. Well, I got here. It's a thing about the dogs that sniff out your crotch-sniffing dogs. There's something kind of similar to this that I stumbled across.
Mm-hmm.
But it's I'll just read the article here.
I had an idea, by the way, for dogs to sniff out venereal disease and cancer in women's crotches. Now, and I'm just saying that, you know, that dogs have that, 1,000 times more sensitive sense of smell. And, you know, they can smell the gunpowder packed in coffee grounds or marijuana or any of this stuff.
Right.
They could smell a venereal disease on a woman.
You think so?
I think so. Yeah, they can smell skin cancer, I found out too, mm-hmm. which I didn't know about when I was initially pitching this idea. Everything's got its own smell and dogs can smell it. I mean, think about it. You take a couple of joints, you put it in some coffee grounds and you weld it into a car fender and the dog smells it. Certainly could smell a little yeast infection or maybe some I don't know. What do you
chlamydia.
Got down there? A little chlamydia. That's got its own smell.
Gonorrheal GC. Yeah.
Go ahead, Sean.
All right, well, it's not quite the crotch-sniffing dogs, but it's close here. Anyway, I'll just read the article. It's giant rats in sub-Saharan Africa are being trained to sniff out tuberculosis in humans. The rats have already been successfully used to detect landmines by their odor. Preliminary tests suggest the rats could test as many as 150 saliva samples for TB in just 30 minutes. By contrast, human technicians using a microscope can test only 20 samples a day. The World Bank has now provided $165,000 for a full study of the rats' diagnostic potential. And then it just goes on and talks
that
about
is amazing.
And stuff.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
What kind of rats?
Giant rats in sub-Saharan Africa. It says they're like
big ones.
Size
of cats.
Oh,
hold on. Why is everything out of Africa so effed up? Why is everything big and nasty and poisonous and scary? Should people be there? Like, should people stay out of Florida and Africa?
Yeah.
Like, people always thought, oh, the cockroaches out here in Florida are like size of mice, you know? And the rats are. Maybe we shouldn't be, like, in Africa, whenever you hear about these things, these, you know, Africanized killer bees and all this stuff, that maybe we just don't need to be there. Doesn't seem like the folks are doing real great over there. It's a bunch of AIDS and stuff going around. Everyone's lighting a tire around each other, tribes kicking the crap out of each other. We just pack it up. You know what I mean? Like, when do we just, with Africa, go, we give it a few thousand years, not really working out. The animals have won. Let's just hit the road. Let the poachers
similar,
hit the place.
It's similar in the sort of northern hinterlands like Alaska and stuff. Everything grows big and ferocious and prehistoric.
Not a great place to be.
Yeah.
Let's just move on.
The weather's impossible.
Pack it in. We're moving to Baja. So you know what I'm saying? We got some hot weather, but we got a nice little surf. You guys can do some tuna fishing, maybe grow some weed or something. We don't need to be in Africa. Everyone's starving. Everyone's got a disease. Rats are giant.
Going to break. Going to next call.
And then next call.
Yeah.
Next call. We got to hear Hoobastank.
We'll do that now?
Song, too. Yeah, I don't mean we have to hear. I mean we get to hear.
We're privileged
to hear Hoobastank.
We're forced to hear.
Do you want to do it during this break or the beginning of the next one?
I think we should hear one.
All right.
Yeah? Yeah, because I got to talk to you guys more about Africa.
Sure.
Yeah. You ready there, Chris? First song, by the way, The Reason is the name of the new CD, and it's called Out of Control.
1, 2, 3, 4. I've done everything as you say. I've followed your rules without question. I thought it would help me see things clearly. But instead of helping me to see, I look around and it's like I'm blinded. Spinning out of control, out of control. Spinning out of control, out of control. Where should I go? What should I do? I don't understand what you want from me. Cause I don't know if I can trust you. I don't understand what you want from me. Feels like I'm spinning out of control. Try to focus but everything's twisted. And all along I thought you would be there.
A little Hoobastank for you. Dan and Doug here representing.
You know, that was the live, the pretty acoustic version of that song. And
nice.
Not the real.
I didn't expect
the band's
that
pissed.
At all. We're
so
really
pissed.
Upset about that.
Well, that's all right because we will. So, that that's not off The Reason.
No. That song is on the album, but it's a lot heavier on the album.
Right. All right.
Why,
by the way, do they... how does that work? Where you get the album name, they tell you the song, and then you say it's off the album, and then you get a song that's not on the album.
I don't even know how that happened.
All right. That's right. Heads are going to roll. That's for goddamn sure. All right, Drew.
Yeah.
I won't recover from this either.
Yeah, you will.
Okay.
Let's take a Germany or Florida.
I'm cool. All right. Here's how we play Germany or Florida. All bizarre evil emanates from either Germany or Florida. All novelty evil. So they tell us...
The story,
and we say Germany or Florida.
Got it?
Right.
Okay.
Okay, here goes the game.
Germany or Florida! It's Germany or Florida!
David
Allen
Greer, everybody.
I went and visited David today at the Life with Bonnie set. Pretty, I mean,
what?
Impressive goings on that set, the way they have to operate.
Spent a lot of money. Brian?
Yes?
All right, go ahead. It's time to play Germany or Florida.
Okay, first off, I just want to say, Drew, you're brilliant. You're a brilliant man. And I wanted to say, Adam, you're a genius. You're a god to all.
Just do it!
Thank you. Let me tell you, quite honestly, Brian, the downside to being a genius. I'm easily bored. You understand?
Right. Okay.
Right. Okay, so here we go.
Here we go. Neighbors were startled late Friday by loud, strange noises coming from a nearby property. The couple proceeded to call the authorities. Upon arrival, a man was seen fleeing from a nearby barn. The authorities chased the man, later finding him unconscious, hung on barbed wire with only his T-shirt present. The rest of the man's body remained unclothed. Apparently, the suspect had rendered himself unconscious by hitting the fence post while fleeing. Upon further inspection of the barn, the suspect's pants were found laying next to a mutilated hog-tied pig, Germany or Florida.
This is tough.
You know,
Germany.
The pork is Germany. Yeah. The barn is Florida. The barbed wire is Florida.
Barbed wire feels Florida.
Germany.
Yeah, but they gotta have barbed wire. You know, Nazis.
We're saying Germany
barbed.
Over here.
Yeah, I may be going with the band on the Germany.
Germany.
Yeah, we're going Germany here, Brian.
Everybody's going Germany.
Yeah.
Everybody is.
Well, I'm ambivalent, but I'm going to go.
On Adam, now, what is it?
Adam is never wrong. So
now,
I'm going
I was
with him.
Wrong last time we did it, though. You want to go Florida?
The answer is...
Hold on. God, love this button.
Germany.
I got to get one of these buttons for everybody, especially around the holidays with the Corolla family.
Flormany.
Germany.
Right, you're going
Florida.
Florida. We're all going Germany. Go ahead, Brian.
Okay, the answer is Adam Carolla was the man fleeing from the authorities.
That was a joke.
Florida.
It's Florida.
It's Florida.
Hey, but no, I had a question for Hoobastank too. How did you come about getting your name?
Germany.
It's actually a gas station in Germany.
For reals.
Really?
Yeah.
It's just when you guys were.
My brother lives in Munich.
Really?
Yeah.
And it's the gas station down the street from. He works at the BMW dealership there.
Yeah. He's the head of motorcycle design for BMW.
Oh, that's right. We talked about this. I wanted to give him oral sex. Forgot about that.
I tried to get him to hook me up with a bike, but he didn't do it.
Yeah,
he did accept the oral sex.
Right.
It's disappointing when you know people that are interested or work in a field that you're interested in, and you try to get something out of them. It's always a little like. You know, they find out they can do you. I can get you a 8% discount on that, you know, after. But then that's retail, and it's like it's always a little like, listen, you're no good. Yeah, yeah. I thought that you could float me something.
Yeah.
It's not, always bad, but that's cool.
Yeah, I was really hoping that we could work something out, but obviously not.
You know what the cool another good gas place is the Gasatorium. Oh no, Gasateria.
Gasateria, yeah.
No, it's just Gasateria.
Gasateria.
If you go to New York, and you're going from JFK into Manhattan, you will pass the Gasateria. And there's just something that sounds
great
about
it. It's over on the right as you're
heading
into the city.
As you're heading in, it's a yellow and like blue sign. It's just as you're
starting.
We were
just there. Yeah.
There's a hospital on the other side.
Right. As you're going through like Queens or something, just where like Archie Bunker used to live, and you're just starting to head into the city, you see the...
Gasateria.
Yeah, it's no Hoobastank, but it'll do. It'll do in a pinch. Any port in a storm. All right, Hoobastank here tonight. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. There, buddy. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Dan and Doug here tonight from Hoobastank. The Reason, name of the CD. It is out as we speak.
Clappity clap.
We'll hear something else off it in the next hour.
Hopefully it'll be off it this time.
Right. Guys heading out with a POD in Linkin Park in January. And that's got to be good times.
Mm.
Is that a world tour or just United States?
U.S.
Yeah, North American.
And that's going to... Well, I'll tell you, if you want to find out about that tour or anything with Hoobastank, you just go to www.hoobastank.com. Find out about tour dates and all that stuff. All right, let's go back to the phones, and we'll speak to Monette. Shouldn't Monette be Monet or something?
T-T-E, Monette. Monet would be without the T-E.
Without the extra T and the E. What's happening there, Monette? It just sounds like you're mispronouncing. You sound like an ugly American.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Hey, Monette.
Yes.
Love those Monet paintings.
You're a very unique girl.
I try to think so.
All right, go ahead, baby doll.
Okay, my parents, well, my dad cheated on my mom, like, in 2000, and then they barely got divorced on June 30th of this year. They tried to work it out, didn't work.
All right. You really need to know your parents' divorce date, actually?
Well, it was, you know.
Isn't that weird?
I don't, but it was, you know, something big, because they were together for 30 years.
Wow.
Yeah. It is, but...
Yeah, that's always
hold
weird.
Hold on a second. I gotta just go on a quick jag here. I don't like the people that give exact dates. It always bothers me. Always bothers me. They go, I landed in Vietnam June 27th, 1969.
Now, think about
I did two tours. I left on December 21st, 1971. I lost my first wife to cancer. That would have been August 9th, the year 1979.
Let's look at it. Why does it bother you?
It's blowhardy. It's blowhardy.
It's meaningful to me. Therefore, it has to be meaningful to you. It's so important to me. You've got to take it
It's blowhardy. Yeah. It's a blowhard guy move. Yeah. Chicks don't normally do it. I like someone who goes, my wife died a couple years back.
Doug knows the dates of everything.
But does he announce them when he's talking?
Yes.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. He's talking about, like, tour dates. Like, I can tell you something about almost every show we'd ever played.
You just have good memory.
You're smart. Yeah. You don't smoke weed.
Too much weed.
Ever.
Never smoked weed.
Not even a cigarette.
See?
Really? See, there you go. Your brain is pristine. It's pink.
Whereas Dan's
is all murky and filled with...
I only smoked weed once.
Actually, he doesn't smoke either.
My brain looks like the inside of a bowl, a bong bowl. You can actually scrape.
Don't these guys look more alive than many of our bands? You know what I'm saying?
Yes, they're lucid.
Yes.
Okay, but here's...
Our band guests.
Here's the point we're making. You know it, but you don't announce it. I don't like the guy who announces it.
Right. It's an intrusion. I don't need to know that.
Yeah, feels weird.
Yeah.
Feels weird. But not Monet. Monet's fine. Go ahead, Monet.
Okay, so now I'm having a lot of trouble. Like, I'll date guys, and it'll go good for a little while, and then I just don't know what happens. I don't really know if I'm pushing them away or if I just...
I think a nice assumption is that you are.
Well,
yeah, it's uncomfortable.
Your parents got divorced when you were 17?
It was a couple years ago, though. You know, she's still getting over it.
Years ago.
Well, see, they didn't get divorced 3 years ago. They tried to work it out for 2 years. They barely got divorced this year.
June 30th, 1970.
I thought it was 2000. It was 2003 they got divorced?
Yeah, it was this year. That's when he cheated on my mom.
Was 2000.
Okay. But, listen, let me just see if I can liberate a lot of you ladies. Whatever your dad did to your mom does not mean all men will do to you. Unfortunately, you're now going to find a guy who does this.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, people always do that where they go, well, you can understand why I don't do this because I saw that. Yeah. No, it doesn't have to be that way.
No, it doesn't.
Okay, well, I have, like, another small question that kind of relates to that. Like, I'm seeing this guy now, and it's been, like, a month and a half, and we have sex and stuff, but I cannot get off. And he can, and he's worked on me, and, like, I'll get really, really close.
Like, working.
Kind of like my dad. He works on me.
Yeah,
looking at his project.
Like an impacted wisdom tooth or something. We got to get that. Got to get to it.
Well, he does.
Yeah. All right. But the harder
that
he
seems
works.
Like a pretty normal thing, actually.
Well, yeah, 20-year-old, that's a common thing. But she sounds like someone who was orgasmic before, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And now it's like we have sex, and I'll get close, but I can't come. And I'm really into him. I mean, it's not that I don't like him or that the sex is bad.
All right. Wait a minute. Do you have the decency to fake it after a certain point?
Well, you know, I don't think so.
No, that'd be a bad move because then he'd keep...
But I just want to know, usually chick will fake it if you work on him long enough.
Yeah,
don't you fake? You fake it just to move on, right?
I've never faked it.
You've never faked it
We've always discouraged that because then they get in that cycle of
fake. I wish some people would do it for me.
I know.
You don't? All right, so you've never faked it.
No.
All right, now you just say this isn't your boyfriend, though.
Well, he's not my boyfriend, but we've been, like, seeing each other, and he's the only person I've been with, like, in the, you know...
Yeah, but you're not really opening yourself up to this relationship in a way that...
This guy ain't into it, really.
He's worked on her.
Well, I don't know. Like, we can have sex for a while, and it just, like...
What do you mean he's worked on you? What has he tried?
Well, like, foreplay, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
What does that mean?
It's a lot of finger blasting, a lot of oral. It's all.
Yeah.
Yeah, but listen.
Yeah. So, yeah.
This guy ain't your boyfriend.
No.
Why
well,
not?
I guess not.
Why not?
I don't know. It's just we've never made it really official.
See, I'm wondering if
so if he went out and hooked up with some other girl, you wouldn't care?
Well, I would care, but...
Mm-hmm.
So you got to sort of declare a major in this relationship, I think.
Right.
I think yeah. what's I think what's holding Monette back is, one is she's all giving herself reasons about the divorce and stuff. Everyone's parents get divorced.
She's
and
depressed.
She's 17.
And
she's a little depressed. I think she gets the feeling like this guy ain't that into her, only he's into her sexually.
Yeah.
But if she ever sat down with him and said, look, are we boyfriend and girlfriend or not? And if we're not, I need to know so we can move on. I think she might hear an answer she didn't want to hear.
Mm.
See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time when women are having regular sex with a guy who's not their boyfriend, they wish the guy was their boyfriend, but they sort of know what the answer is.
Or there's someone who's been in a marriage for a long time, just got a divorce, and is not interested in a relationship.
But that's not Monette.
That's not a 20-year-old.
All right. This guy needs to be your boyfriend so you can have an orgasm.
There you go.
Jay?
Jay from Thousand Oaks?
Hello?
What's happening?
Yes. Adam Carolla, Dr. Drew, longtime listener. Thank you, guys, rule. Doug and Dan, you're my old camp counselors at YMCA.
Wow.
Jay, what's your last name?
Hanson.
Jay, are you the motocross rider?
Yeah.
See, I remember.
Oh, you remember that?
Yeah. Yeah. Little, you're really little, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that's
you guys
so cool.
were counselors?
Yeah.
YMCA, Triumphal Canyon.
Yep.
Wow.
That was us.
What do
so
you do?
Cool.
How do you do that?
How do you counsel?
Yeah.
Well, I was actually, I ran like the kindergarten program in the mornings. Like,
I
during
was
the
in like sixth grade.
Well, hey, let me finish, man. Like during the school year, I did the kindergarten stuff. And then like during the summer, I did like the teen camp stuff. So, I mean... Yeah, whatever, man.
Was it a gig? Did you get paid?
Yeah. It was
nice.
A job. Was
we both
job.
Worked there for like six,
6 years.
6 years?
Wow.
We did that and we got our record deal and we quit.
Well, yeah, yeah, sure. Screw the kids.
No, but we go back all the time and visit. It's
right.
Good.
Yeah,
it's
all
awesome
here,
job.
It's all about the kids. That's what I say.
That's cool. Yeah, I go to Westlake now. I still have your CD from when you guys had the Hoover sign and you ditched that, whatever, the Hoover vacuums.
Right.
That was way cool.
The memories.
Yes, the memories.
So, did they ever, you know, approach you sexually, Jay, or?
No.
Okay.
You were the one they didn't do that to?
Here and there, but.
All right.
There were some hot little girls back then, remember, Doug?
Oh, my
so
God.
So many.
Oh,
mental notes.
No. Keep them away from your car.
Dan was the pimp in the Ford Ranger with the carpet in the bed, trying to pimp it with the hose.
What?
Wow.
He does know you, Dan.
Yeah.
Ford Ranger. That's a nice ride for a kid.
I remember.
How old were you guys? You guys were like age 12 through 18 or something? Or what were you?
How old do you think I am?
24.
I'm
going to
be 29 next month.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. See what happens
when
you
smoke? You don't
weed?
Smoke?
Child molester.
Yeah. It's hard to, I don't know. It's hard to tell. Yeah, we assume everyone that comes in here is like 15, 16.
This guy's jet last night. Like they're 38. I think they were 14.
I think they're,
Yeah, but the guys from Jet are like Australian alcoholics who look like they just got drunk and fell asleep in the desert. And they're like, it's not easy to be haggard at 22, but
they managed.
Jet managed, didn't they?
It was good.
They pulled it off. Yeah, whereas you guys still have your girlish youth. Yeah. I mean, you guys, you know, young. Yeah. All right, so there's Jay. Another success story, by the way.
How's that?
I don't know. It just seemed like a good way to end the call. But they didn't molest the kid.
That's right. That's a success.
That's a success in its own right there.
Dan remembered him specifically.
Yes.
See what happens when you don't smoke weed?
Totally. I got a great memory.
Yep. That's what happens. Seriously, we kid about it. But if Dan was smoking weed all through high school, he'd have no idea who this kid was.
Look, there was a study came out last couple weeks ago about alcohol shrinking your brain, too. It was very limited exposure
there's
to
another thing that shrinking. We don't partake in too much.
Listen, 4 ounces a day will do it. More than 4 ounces a day.
4 ounces of just pure grain alcohol.
Wow. No. Yes,
it'll make you lose your memory, or what?
It shrinks your brain. It actually does.
Shrinks your brain.
What's wrong with a more compact brain? You're trying to shrink
compact.
That gut of yours,
not,
aren't
not,
you, Drew?
Not
nothing wrong with it. I'll tell you right now.
Yeah,
nothing wrong with that. A little treadmill for the brain.
That's what I'm talking about.
Shed those unwanted inches.
The humor becomes increasingly bizarre and infantile.
Yeah. So my head sounds like a paint can when you shake it up. No problem there. Drew, seriously, 4 ounces?
Yeah, they were. They was pretty.
That's with the kids.
Too.
That's on.
Explains Marku.
Those are kids, right? Adults?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Christ. Yeah. I thought wine. How many ounces? You mean like of wine? No, they're talking about Everclear.
It was like I got to pull a steady out again, but it was basically like a glass of beer, more than a glass of beer, more than a glass of wine. You're going to have something. Yeah.
How long does this take?
This pretty
700
a few
years.
Months. No. It's pretty
really?
Rapid. Yeah. We've known that forever. I mean, that's why all these studies about alcohol being great for your cardiovascular system have always been sort of. I've looked at them with a very that jaundiced view because
you that
they
it
don't.
Your brain.
Yeah, they're not saying that you're healthier if you drink more alcohol. They're saying your cardiovascular system may be slightly protected, but in this study, I actually showed more strokes.
It's less
more brain
to provide oxygen for.
Oh, that's bad. It's bad. We've always known that.
Yeah.
Sorry. You better stick with the ecstasy like you used to do.
Yeah, you're really harsh in my mail, you know.
Whatever.
Where's my bourbon?
Well, the cigarettes are good for you.
Cigarettes good?
Yeah.
All right.
And I've seen you've escalated that from one a day to pack and a half a day.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Please. Ask me how many cigarettes I smoked today.
How many cigarettes will you have smoked by the time you go to bed tonight?
Well, I don't know, but I've smoked less than half a cigarette today.
Yeah, it's starting at 12 midnight last night.
Well, I do smoke a couple cigarettes when I get home, but that's when I shrink my brain with the wine.
You can't sleep without shrinking the brain a little bit.
Let me say this about me, and as you know, Drew, I don't like to talk myself up, but
no,
my brain is so powerful that it's difficult for me to live amongst you mortals, as is. You understand how frustrating life is for me, having to deal with regular people, riding behind them on freeways, expecting them to do their jobs at my house, at my homes, my multiple homes, expecting them, see, I don't need my brain.
You need to shrink. You need to get rid of a little bit of it.
I got to dumb myself down. So it's like
just to level the playing field.
Yeah.
No, so we can function, we can survive.
Like, if you're going to camp with a bunch of retards, you better whack yourself on the head with a frying pan so you can enjoy yourself.
Or expect to have a bad time.
No. My brain is still too big. I'm going to go home and really shrink
have
it
a drink.
Tonight. Yeah. All right. Hoobastank in the studio tonight. Take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Hoobastank in here tonight. Dan and Doug representing the band. The Reason, name of the CD, and we're going to hear something off the actual CD in the 11 o'clock hour. And Michelle Branch is coming in here tomorrow night, who I don't think we've had on this show.
No, never met her.
No? Uh-oh. Drew means business. He's pulling the mic toward his face.
I'm actually going to... talk.
It's good radio, Drew.
Nice.
Great radio. All right. I think I saw Michelle Branch on Monday Night Football, though. They did this whole competition. Did you see that?
What is that? When did Monday Night Football become American Idol?
Somebody decided at a certain point that Monday Night Football needed a whole bunch of extra elements to it. And I know how the suits works. Like, we're going to track the ladies by providing something. But all you do is piss off the guys.
That's exactly right.
This is, by the way, whenever somebody says, "Well, look, we're gonna take a car. It's gonna be a sports car. It's gonna be a minivan. It's gonna be an SUV. It's gonna be a 2-seater. It's gonna be all you get is a piece of ass."
Right.
You
get a gremlin.
Yeah. The all the best of whatever were dedicated. You know, like the all-in-one tool. It's just crappy at 30 different things. Always better to be dedicated to something. One purpose.
Yep.
And they're spreading it out with Monday Night Football. But anyway, they have players in music competitions. And they pair them up with a big name. In that case, I think it was Doug Flutie playing with Michelle Branch.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Or it wasn't Doug Flutie. It was another.
Doug Flutie. Oh. No, he was playing with somebody else. I forget.
He was playing with Bare Naked Ladies.
Right. And
Michelle Branch was playing with a rookie DB from the Falcons. And I can't remember his name, and they're both playing the drums. Yeah?
And these were guys that previously played, and they gave him a chance to sort of...
Do something, yeah. Because, you know, if you really think about it as a NFL athlete, you've got 6-7 months a year to sort of spend your money and do your thing, you know?
Right.
Let's put a drum set in the living room and go to town. All right, that's why they're all into hunting, by the way. That's why jocks are into hunting. It's not really that they're into hunting. It's like,
have time.
Hey, I got to kill 9 months every year. What am I going to do?
I'll kill for nine months.
I got to literally kill 9 months. No, it's like, yeah. And here's how you know you've arrived, when you're hunting on your own land. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You become like, you're like the king at this
like
point.
The Nuge.
Medieval times. Yeah. Yeah, just head, yeah, like the Nuge. What happened to the Nuge, Drew?
I don't know what that was.
Ted Nugent.
Ted Nugent.
Oh, yeah.
Ted Nugent.
His own land?
Oh, he's still out there. He's still out there hunting.
Wow.
I think in a loincloth.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah, he's great. He's great. He's
Cuckoo.
He's a treasure.
He had some reality show for a little while. Did you see?
Yeah, I don't know what happened to that. He's such an exquisite.
Your friend Adam ought to do a show. I'm with Ted.
Huh?
You tried Adam?
Oh, yeah, Adam De La Pena, right, who did I'm with Busey. Yeah, I think Ted Nugent is just such an exquisite blowhard that eventually bothered everyone to the point where we decided we didn't want to hear him anymore. And he's also one of these guys who just has a whole bunch of these canned isms that he spits out every day. And you get the feeling like he just comes preloaded with about five of them and spits them all out. And they have to do about what Ted's got to do and Ted hunting. I'd like to give him a good ass kicking, to tell you the truth. I'd snap that beanpole in half like Kinley. Mackenzie?
Yeah.
Then he'd shoot me in the back with a crossbow.
Of course.
You're 17, Mackenzie. What's up?
I have endometriosis, and I take birth control for it.
Right.
And now they've discovered that I have gallstones, and I was wondering whether or not I should have my gallbladder taken out.
Yes, definitely.
Did you lose a bunch of weight recently?
Well, I am now because I'm not eating because I get so nauseated.
From the gallbladder disease.
Yeah.
Well, obviously it's got to go, right? I'm sure that somebody's told you that.
Well, my mom's kind of against it, so it would be my third surgery on my stomach.
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh. What happened?
Well, the first time I had a ruptured ovarian cyst.
Oh,
yeah.
Were you molested?
No.
No?
No, all not right. at all. It just ruptured because I used to have really heavy periods.
Mm-hmm.
And then I lost half an ovary. And then my second...
How many ovaries you got, Drew?
Two. Well, that's an operation you probably didn't need. So go ahead.
She got one and a half now?
That's what my OBGYN said. So, yeah. And
all right.
My second one was an exploratory laparoscopy because I was at school for 3 weeks in pain.
And that was where they found the endometriosis, and they cleaned that up. Okay.
So now I'm on Levlin, and I don't take the inactive week.
Yeah, well, neither of those surgeries were anywhere near as essential as the gallbladder surgery. Your gallbladder can become gangrenous and can be a huge, huge mess.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
All right, George, hold on a second.
Sums up with Mackenzie. I don't think we'll get to the
all
bottom
right, whenever we get that endometriosis, there's always a problem.
Well, not always, but when there's endometriosis and.
Yeah.
And it's not working right, and I've tried this, and there's chaos, and I'm manipulating my care, then there's something going on.
Mackenzie.
Yeah.
All right, are you no problems other than this? No emotional problems?
No, not at all.
All right.
Then it's done laparoscopically. You go home the next same day. You did it as an outpatient, even.
Right.
So let's
what do they do? They remove your gallbladder?
Yeah.
How big is your gallbladder?
Egg.
Egg?
Yeah.
What kind of egg? Ostrich?
No.
Chicken. Quail? Egg.
Quail.
Yeah,
no, chicken.
Eggs vary, Drew.
Chicken egg.
Is this dinosaur eggs?
Eggs I eat for breakfast, yeah.
You would chicken eat egg. Someone's gallbladder?
If I had an access.
That's what
of
I
course.
Heard.
Of course.
Okay.
Germany or Florida? Germany or Florida?
Too much information. No.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk to Hugo. Hugo?
Hey, Adam, are you, okay, you're talking about your brain shrinking and stuff like that, how you drink away to shrink your brain?
Right, I have to drink to shrink my brain, otherwise I would go insane.
Well, that's the thing, like, instead of, trying to shrink your brain to level up with, down
to
you guys.
Society.
Why not try to do something, good, Like, try to find a cure for cancer and stuff like that.
It's an interesting thought. Well, I'm in love with booze. So I really, it's almost a, why am I hearing my own brain? Is that me?
Yeah.
All right. Yes, I could cure cancer, but I don't want to play God. That's my whole thing. I don't want to be accused of playing God.
But isn't the point that you couldn't cure cancer because you're such a genius that you are sort of cluttered with everything raining down upon you from our culture?
Right.
And all the nuisances of all the other humans. Make it impossible for you to go on to do things like curing cancer.
It's like your brain is getting jammed,
It's a huge funnel. It's a huge...
It's like that giant satellite dish out in the desert pulling in sounds from all over the universe.
Right. And what I need to do is to short it out by taking a leak on it.
That's right.
You understand?
Yeah.
So that I don't... So I can only get spice and like ESPN Classic.
Yeah,
those are the only two ones I want. You see, but they can't handle all the oxygens.
But you can't handle all the wavelengths.
See, man, see what you're doing, dude. You're bumming my dish. All right, see that, Drew?
I knew that.
That's how it works.
Yeah.
All right, who was Stank in here tonight? We'll hear something off the new CD when we come back, and then we'll talk to many of you. Many of you after this. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Tomorrow night, Michelle Branch in here. Hubastank in here tonight. Dan and Doug both here eating their candy.
Yeah.
You eating? You're chomping on them.
I can't suck on these things, dude.
You can't? They're too good.
I've just been like that since I was a little kid. Is there somewhere? Not really.
All right, what about
You know, it's interesting that the people divide their experience of eating into different kinds of experiences. Some people like the chewing and the tearing and the biting, and some people like the sort of the taste and the. So you're the chewing and biting guy.
Well, for me, when I'm sucking on something, I don't feel like I'm eating.
Right. Yeah.
So I like to suck on it for a second and then just start chewing.
Yeah, they like the chewing experience.
I used to like to chew like that until I had a root canal.
Well, I had a root canal,
and then I'm like, forget it.
I had two of them, but they fixed my teeth, so I'm back. I'm back in business.
Chewing, that's good.
I'm back in business.
Yeah. What about the people that chew ice?
Yeah, that's me.
Me too.
That bothers me.
The little soft rabbit turd ice ones are good though.
Yeah. Those are fine. Those are fine. Like the sort of slushy ones.
Right.
I like the move on the slushy when you actually capsize the cup and you start banging on it, and then the avalanche of ice hits you in the face and blows the cap off and shoves a straw up your nose. That's a smooth move, by the way, if you're in public.
And no matter how many times it's happened to you, you do it again.
Yeah, because you think this time I'm poised.
Yeah.
I'm in my stance.
I'm expecting.
Yeah, always slides down your chest. Disaster. Yeah. All right, we got a question for the band. Jeanette?
Hello?
What's up?
Hey, what's up?
Yeah.
Hello?
Here you go. Hi.
Okay. Actually, first I want to know if you guys remember me from Jimmy Kimmel. I was wearing that yellow sweater in the front and going crazy and stuff.
Are you Asian?
Yes, I am.
I remember you.
See, right, cool. They don't smoke pot. They know everybody in every crowd I remember ever played at.
You were going absolutely ape bleep.
Absolutely crazy for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for going to that, by the way.
Yeah, no problem. It was really fun, actually.
It was.
All right. So, okay, my question is, like, I have your new album, and it's really, really cool. Like, I think it's, like, really better than, like, probably your first album, but I'm not sure. Maybe not, but anyways, I want to know how it was to, like, work with Howard Benson and things since he, like, produced POD and all, and, like, how you guys felt, like, it came out, your album, and if you guys liked it like that or whatever.
Well, I thought working with Howard Benson was a totally different experience than working with Jim Wirt, who did our first record.
Mm-hmm.
Howard Benson... Jim Wirt really concentrated on individual parts, you know?
Yeah.
The guitar part, the bass part. And he engineered it as well, so he was there, like, pushing the buttons and everything. Whereas Howard Benson really concentrated, well, at least he said, you know, part of his selling point when we met with him was he was all about the lyrics and the vocals. And he did concentrate a lot on the lyrics and the vocals.
Uh-huh.
And then the song as a whole, not so much individual parts, you know? Like, he'd work with me on the vocals and the lyrics, and then...
Uh-huh.
And then he'd hear the whole song and go, you know what, it needs to be, you know, there's something missing here, you know, rather than going, Marku, you need to play a different note, you know, in this part.
So, what approach did you like better?
I don't know. I'm much happier with this record. Not that I wasn't happy with the first one, but, you know, you're a little wiser this time around and you get to do what you want to do on this CD. So I'm happier song for song with this record than the last one. But I don't think either way was like I preferred either style. You know, it's just two different ways to get something done.
And if you had to do, or when you do a third album, which way you're gonna do, or do you hope it's just a third way?
I'm hoping it's just a third way, like a whole new way. You know.
Hey, Jeanette.
Yeah.
All right, baby doll.
All right, thank you, Hoobastank.
Thanks, Jeanette.
All right, see ya. Bye.
Sounds like there's some sort of product that just took a wine stain out of your carpet. Thank you, Huben.
thank you, Calgon.
Guy spilt grape juice on his
golf
shirt. Thank you, Huben.
Look at these guys sign their name.
Look
at these guys sign their name, too. Legible.
Legible. Yeah.
Not hieroglyphic.
You should take some more drugs or something.
Yeah.
We can change that up right away.
You sign your name, it's nothing, right? It's a mark. You're like Zorro.
When I actually, for prescriptions
like
and things.
Fago, but
yeah,
Zorro.
Yeah.
Right, like the mark of Fago.
Yeah, I'll do it.
Go ahead.
I was thinking about just starting
I don't sign for the public, though, because I'm afraid someone's going to forge my signature and make a prescription. That's why I don't do that. But this is my
let me see that
prescription.
That's your prescription one that just looks like a monkey got hold of a pen and
looks
a
like our drummers.
Yeah, that doesn't mean anything. But how's the Dr. Drew do, like, if I buy a book from you?
Ooh. See, very different.
I know. I've seen you sign 1,000 times, you a-hole. Sally?
Yeah.
You're 16?
Mm-hmm.
What's up?
Not much.
All righty.
Okay, bye.
Yeah.
Hello.
2 times in a row with this, by the way.
Yeah?
Yeah. Brian, start prepping these callers. They got to start talking when we put them on. What's happening?
Well, I'm 16,
mm-hmm.
and I have a 29-year-old boyfriend.
Whoa!
At times.
Yeah.
And, when we met each other, we didn't realize, like, there was a big age difference, because he looks a lot younger than he is, and I look a lot older than I am.
You must be hot.
Yeah. You wear a lot of eyeshadow, and he has a really crappy job and still lives at home. That doesn't mean you should be mistaken for each other's ages, you know?
No, he doesn't live at home. I just thought his parents were gone.
Oh, he does live at home, yes?
No, he has his own house.
She thought he was living at home, but his parents were always gone.
Uh-huh.
This guy, listen.
His parents live with him.
Please, he knew you were not 20.
No, okay.
Come on, Sally. It'll be ridiculous.
He doesn't live with his parents. He lives by himself, and whenever I went over to his house, I just thought that his parents were gone.
You didn't know it was his house?
Yeah.
What?
You didn't know
it was... Yeah. What about the pyramid of Bud cans that were in the living room and the bookshelf that was made out of cinder block and knotty pine? That wasn't a giveaway?
Well, you never know.
You never know.
What's the question here?
He's very forceful.
He's a criminal, Sally. He's dating a 16-year-old. He's 29. He's an a-hole.
Rape is his business. That's what he does.
And... He refuses to wear, like, a condom when we have sex.
Oh, now I'm shocked. Sir Walter Raleigh over
Fantastic.
Here. I cannot believe it. This is so out of character for him.
He said he's allergic to latex, and he's like, he always pulls out.
I've used that one.
He's allergic to the truth is what he's allergic to. That's where you guys clap.
Yeah.
All right, Sally.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Yeah. A couple things. What does this guy do for a living?
He owns a business.
What kind of business?
Concrete business or something.
Oh, unless that's a metaphor for a very sturdy business. I don't like this guy.
Come on, open your eyes.
Yeah. Okay. And here's the thing. Let me say this too. You know, a lot of this is. I didn't know how old she was when I met her. Okay, well, first off, you didn't ask.
Right.
And which means you don't want to know. Because
exactly.
If you think about it, when you do meet somebody who you know is about your age, the first thing out of your mouth when you meet someone is like, where do you go to school? How old
are
you?
What are you doing
now?
When did you graduate?
When'd you graduate?
Yeah.
You're
how old now?
Dude?
28.
You can't tell what a 16-year-old is?
Of course I can.
Of course you can.
Sometimes you can't tell, though, you know?
Yeah.
No, but you know.
No, but
you know.
You know
when they're young.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
You know they're not 21.
He knew. Exactly. He just didn't ask purposely because
of course,
he didn't.
Of course, because he doesn't want
to. He wanted to play dumb.
That's right. Ask. They're bleeders. That's how I know. But here's the thing, Drew. Yeah, you don't want to know, so you don't ask. Here's the other thing, too. They go out on 4 dates, and then they find out.
And then they keep going.
They keep rolling. Yeah. It's like, well, we've been dating for 18 months, and we didn't find out to the third date that I was 11 and he was in his 40s. You kept going, didn't you?
Well, and then this guy heats it up with, I just won't wear a condom with this girl either. And, man, she gets pregnant. What are you going to do?
All right. I don't like this guy.
Concrete.
We got to get him out of there. Sally.
Yeah.
First off, your name is Sally. You got to know that anyone named Sally is under 18, right?
No.
Oh, okay. Now, what's going on with your horrible family that you would get hooked up with a guy like this?
My horrible family?
Yes.
Your horrible family, yes.
Something has gone awry.
Oh, I don't get along with my family.
There you go. What's the problem?
I don't know. I can't stand them. I've tried running away before, but they called the cops.
Right.
Why did you sort of react in amazement when we brought up
your
horrible
family?
Did I hear a smoke detector in the distance, way in the distance?
Where are you, Sally?
Where am I?
Yes.
I'm in my room.
In your room?
Mm-hmm.
In your, at home?
In my house.
In the hall, and maybe the next bedroom down. Is there a smoke detector?
No.
Chirping?
No, Drew, you're not going to get this out.
All right, yeah.
Listen, Sally, do you live at home with your parents?
Yes, I do. I'm always
you do. I'm hip. Do they know you're going out with a 29-year-old Mason?
Oh, no.
Okay. And I know this would anger them, and that's part of the thrill of it. But hey, here's the whole deal, Sally, and I'll just be real fast. You're angry at your parents. I'm sure you're very angry at your dad. You found a guy who is essentially an abuser and a criminal. You don't know it because you think you're 16 and you're old. You'll realize when... Yeah, he treats you great.
Yeah, Sally, when you're 21, you'll look at somebody, a 21-year-old dating a 16-year-old with horror. 29-year-old, you'll call the police.
Can you stop acting out for just a second,
mm-hmm.
get your grades up and go off to college somewhere, and then sort of have the ultimate revenge on your parents for being successful
and
never talking to them?
Right. I get good grades.
Yes.
I go to a Catholic. I'm a Catholic schoolgirl. I get good grades. I'm a good student.
All right.
Focus on that and stay out of trouble.
Then you're smart, so you break it off with this guy. All right, he's a criminal.
Okay.
All right. She's that luck. Just go do whatever you want.
She's not gonna
get
listen
anyways. Get AIDS. Have him kill you. Fine.
Yeah. Why'd you
enjoy?
Call? Why'd
enjoy?
You call?
Don't bother us with your nonsense. Then you're all geniuses. You go do what you want. You're all geniuses. Yeah, good luck, screwballs. I hate our callers. Pains in the ass.
Rachel.
Listen, what are you going to do, by the way, when you're pissed off at the world, you hate your dad, you have a set of cans on you, you have your sexuality, you're 16, and you know that there's guys that are going to entertain you. They just are. And, you know, they're criminals, but you don't. It makes you feel old,
powerful.
Hanging out and powerful that you have these guys coming after you. And you have so much neuroses that you're never going to cut through it, and you think you know everything. And what are you going to do other than have it run its course?
Mm.
You know what I mean? Mm. A certain amount of these women are going to be killed by these guys, and a certain amount are going to get pregnant, and a certain amount are going to get off unscathed.
Really, the awful thing is that these are treatable situations, that if people just take advantage of some help, some modicum of mental health services, These things can be turned around.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. Listen, we're not so interested
society.
In that in this
free
country.
Free society, yeah. Do whatever you want.
Yeah, we're not so interested in these sort of sciences that don't have any, that still, I mean, you get the feeling, like I saw Bush interviewed tonight. I don't have any problem with Bush. It seems like a decent guy and everything, but you don't think he knows much about therapy or psychotherapy or that process,
I think
process,
he may be a recovering
you?
Person.
Yeah, but that's where he's just giving himself up to a higher power kind of thing.
He's not a sophisticated recovery, but I think he appreciates those sorts of things. He just doesn't know anything about them.
Well, let me pose this question then, or it's actually more of a statement. But every president gets up there and starts talking about religion and their religion and the going to church and always convening with their clergy and all this kind of nonsense.
He doesn't talk about that.
He weaves God into a lot of stuff, God willing and God bless and all that kind of nonsense.
He weaves old-fashioned sort of scriptural sort of references and things.
He's a quasi-dullard. I don't think he's a buffoon. I don't think he's an idiot. But he's not. Put it this way: if you were hanging out with him and he wasn't the president, you'd be like, "Hey, George, shut your pie hole, and let me turn up the stereo."
You know,
if you drove across country with George Bush and George Bush sold aluminum siding, you'd throw him out of the car after about 30 miles. You would. Decent guy. Just not a genius. Not a stupid guy.
Not an intellectual, but
definitely
but
not.
Kind of
I don't think you're going to exchange interesting ideas with him. I just don't.
Yeah, but there's a certain amount of wisdom the guy has.
I don't. I'd vote for him over whoever else we have to choose from, which is not saying that much. But fine, I don't have a problem with Bush. All I'm saying is every president just talks in terms of religion, and they all pretend to go to church, and they'll have this BS relationship with Jesus and all this stuff. I've never heard one talk about therapy, psychology, or anything that would even remotely come into that realm.
It's true.
You think we'll ever get an atheist president?
It'd be nice.
Corolla for president is what we're saying here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just mean a guy who says, look, let's talk about what motivates people. Let's talk about what we know about what motivates people, and then let's talk about how to stop it.
Yeah, yeah.
We got a situation with a lot of young black kids committing violent crimes. Let's approach that from a way that we think can stop it. We got problems with unwed mothers. We got a problem with drug addiction. We got a problem with this. We got a problem with that. Whatever our problem is, let's apply what we know about it in a sort of scientific way and see if we can stem it. Just like when we're having trouble with salmon spawning because we built too many dams, we build some tributary thing that goes around. You know, we study it for a little bit, and then we fix it. Mm-hmm. We don't prey on it. Jesus.
Same thing about the...
Dear Lord, hope those salmon can get to their final spawning place.
Same thing about the war on terror, too. Same thing. They study and they...
Right. That's what we do with everything.
Yep.
Let's just figure out what makes sense. And if you got a problem with teen pregnancies, or you have a problem with a certain population dropping out of school, or a problem with abandoning fathers and whatever, the prison population, whatever going on, drug abuse, whatever, focus on it and take care of it. Forget the stigma, forget the societal mores and all that kind of stuff. It's just what it is.
What works.
What works, that's it. That's it. And don't go prey on it. I don't want that. I just want you to take care of it.
And
why that would be incredible taboo for our country. Why the guy who says, I'm an atheist, but it's all right. I got a whole bunch of really sharp guys behind me. They study the human condition. We're going to approach it from that standpoint. Why is that such incredible taboo? Why would that get you tossed that often? Would you vote for me?
Yeah, I'd vote for you. You already got my vote.
All right, that's two votes. Drew?
No, I wouldn't vote for
Dan?
No.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, that's three. That's enough. Is that enough?
Yeah, you're in.
Rachel?
Yes.
What's up?
But first thing I want to say, Hobestank, you are awesome. My fiance and I saw you in Tulsa, like, less than a week ago.
Wow.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Anyways, whenever my boyfriend and I, like, make out, I guess, anything, the only thing that, like, gets me off is the actual sex and him fingering me. But whenever he eats me, like,
when he eats you?
Yeah.
This is back to those bear analogies.
Right.
Do you have multiple orgasms? Yes.
Yeah. But whenever he goes down on me, it feels good, but I don't come.
Right. Yeah. That is this version of the female. But there's a version of female that has multiple orgasms during intercourse.
Oh, God,
no response to oral sex.
Well, yeah. I was just wondering, because he has a small tongue. I didn't know if that had anything to do with
it. No, it's just you. It's how you're put together.
What's it look like, a parrot?
Does the size of the tongue ever matter?
No, never.
Never heard about
never.
That.
No. Just the other stuff I get complaints about. All right. Mm-hmm. Listen, genius, you're fine. You have all the orgasms and all the sex. What are you using for birth control?
Pill.
The pill.
Which one?
Ortho tricycline.
All right, good times.
Good girl.
Fantastic.
Now, why are you guys going to get married so young?
Oh, we're not. We're waiting 20. Like 3 more years. We just already got engaged.
Finished school.
And he's in school, and I'm working, and he's working too. So.
All right.
What kind of job do you have?
I work in the hospital. I clean surgical instruments.
Ooh. What do you get there? What do you get that? what's that centrifuge thing? It's not that. What's that thing called? The fusion?
Autoclave.
Autoclave.
No,
yeah.
This is not.
I like that autoclave.
You like that, huh?
Yeah.
It's nice. Much better than the manual one.
Yeah. It's true. Those old. Remember the old three on the tree claves? All right, Rachel. Don't get pregnant.
Oh, no.
And have fun sterilizing stuff. She says she sterilizes stuff? Let me tell you my
story. I didn't think we did any sterilizing anymore. It's all throwaway.
You just throw everything away. Here's my move. I do this one. I do the armpit drag.
Yeah,
I mean, like, you want that back? Pow.
Or the scalpel's on the tongue.
Oh, what? Oh, yeah. You do the lick?
Lick the scalpels.
Lick and drag?
Like licking the spoon type thing?
Well, hear a little something from Hoobastank, actually. Wait a minute. I have the next song we're going to hear. It's called, it's off the same name as the album. You queued up there, Chris? Yep. It's called The Reason.
I'm not a perfect with every day. Take it all away and be the one who catches all your tears. That's why I need you to hear. I found a reason for me to change you. Thanks to you.
Stank, everybody.
Tear.
That's a good song.
Thanks, man.
That's really good. I hadn't heard that before.
Oh, thank you.
That's very good. You know, most songs, you don't like them that much when you hear them.
Mm-hmm. This was very good.
No, but you have to
Dr.
hear them.
You like that one, too?
Yeah, I do.
You're in the bathroom the whole time.
You can beat off and listen to music at the same time.
Those are your music.
Or whatever you... What are you doing there, Drew?
Peeing? Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's good. Like, normally you hear a song, I hear about five times before you start getting into it. No, that was, I was into it the first
time. That's a one-timer.
I'm actually kind of burnt out on it. I need a break.
That's how good it is. You heard it once, you're burnt out on it.
Don't talk anymore. I need a Hoobastank break. We're going to take one, and we'll be right back with Melanie, who's a 19-year-old boyfriend. That you can't get pregnant unless she orgasms.
Nice approach.
Good angle. We'll be back. Hey, it's Love Line. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. All right. Drew, my throat's getting sore, so I'm not going to talk so much.
Okay, let's talk to Melanie. Let's let her do the talking.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, I know it's going to hurt you to have the callers talk, but let's give it a shot.
Hoobastank is here. Let me tell you my problem. I'm a mouth breather. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's the noise I make. You should eat with me. It's great. And I try to talk, too, while I'm eating.
It's like I said, it's a taper eating.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
more rooting than it is eating. But the thing is when I get the sore throat with the mouth breathing, look out. All right.
So you're just talking about this operation. Have you talked publicly about that?
No, please don't mention it.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding. Yeah.
It's wild. Wow.
Does his personality change afterwards?
Talk about it, please.
No, right, tell the story.
I'm not talking.
Tell your story.
Sore throat.
You fell off a mini bike.
Yeah, I bought like a little mini bike. We all bought these little mini bikes. We're out on the road, and I got clotheslined by a rope.
Oh my God.
At nighttime. I have really poor eyes to begin with, and Doug encouraged me to go out and ride at night with him.
It's his fault. Yeah. I agree.
He was wearing glasses, though.
I did put my glasses on, but they're glasses from 1994.
That's good.
And
well, you've aged so much since then, I can understand.
And anyway, so I got knocked off the bike, and I wasn't wearing a helmet, which was mistake number one. And
about number three there.
Yeah.
I was sober.
Listening to your buddy.
Right.
Hey, I didn't run into the rope.
Whatever. So I got rushed to the hospital. There was a blood clot right near my brain, skull fracture or something. And I don't really remember too much. Doug was the guy that okayed the doctor to do the surgery. I was just in too much pain. And
same guy that put you out there on the bike, Mike.
I didn't know that was part of the singing responsibilities, that you have the power to okay
power
head surgery. Yeah.
Where were you?
I was in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. It was like the fifth show that we had done in 7 months. It was like we were right back at touring. And
it's a serious operation. I mean, it's serious.
Yeah, the doctor said that the actual procedure wasn't that serious.
The procedure is simple. It's just drilling a hole in his head.
He said it's like only an hour and a half.
Anytime you open the skull, people's personality change. They feel funny for a while.
Pops out.
I was, I was in the hospital for about 4 or 5 days.
He was gay before, and now he's...
I'm totally straight now.
Now he's bi.
My penis is bigger, too, now. It's amazing.
I didn't want to talk about that, but yeah.
But, so I was in the hospital for a while. Then I was at home for about a month, just on Vicodin. I couldn't drive, couldn't really do anything. But that's what we were talking about in the other room when I was talking about the catheter.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, you had the catheter in for that long time. Yeah.
No, I only had it in for a couple days,
What do they? How do they drill a hole in your head?
With a, it's a special drill, and it releases as soon as it gets through the skull.
How does it know?
It's a special surgical device. It just,
really?
Yeah.
Special.
A lot of brain surgery is barbaric.
No.
If they drill the hole in my head, then why do they cut me from here to up here?
They got
to
flap.
Okay.
Open it up.
Oh, they got to get flap to get a shot at the skull.
Hopefully they put the hole right up here.
Yeah, there was, when I woke up, there was a tube sticking out of my head.
Yeah, it's a ventriculostomy, it's called. Yeah.
Wow. Why up there? Why up top?
It's the less important brain, basically. You get up there.
Yeah, well, mine's shrinking, so you won't hit anything. I mean, you could take a whole paddle bit and just drop it in there. You'd never get to
also,
my brain.
That's where they put the drains in to get the stuff out. They just drop it in the ventricles.
Wow.
So here's I was going to show you Dr. Drew. There it is.
His surgical wound.
That was in the recovery.
Yeah, it's the ventriculostomy.
No, I can't see that.
Yeah, that this stuff's coming out of his
brain.
There's
brains. A picture, by
show
the way.
Show him the catheter one, Doug.
I got a picture of...
I've seen a catheter.
Dan's brain with that.
So there's no catheter ones.
All right. I'm going to vomit. I got this sore throat, though, so, we all...
You're axe to grind. Axe to bear.
Yeah, sure. Melanie?
Yeah.
You're 15?
Yeah.
What's up?
My boyfriend told me that I can only get pregnant when we're having sex if I have an orgasm.
True.
Nothing could be further from the truth.
Okay.
Just right. Him putting his penis in your vagina can make you pregnant.
Can you say
nothing
that again?
More than that. That's all it takes. Okay?
All right.
Wear
also,
a condom.
All right. actually, the original reason why I was calling is because one of you was complaining about people chewing ice, and someone told me that the reason they do that is because they're sexually unsatisfied.
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything. That's something that has been tossed around for 100 years.
Really?
It doesn't mean a damn thing.
Maybe 200.
Yeah.
Although I don't know if they had ice available a couple hundred years ago.
It does mean a certain amount of unresolved aggression. It is, again, somebody that's has some oral issues, but that doesn't mean a damn thing.
Hey, Melanie.
Yeah.
Yeah, stop listening to everyone around you. Could you do that, please?
What was that?
And your boyfriend's 19.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
It makes him a criminal.
I know.
What's up?
Yeah.
What's that loser do?
I like dirty men.
What are you doing, know-it-all?
Who, me?
Yeah, you're in high school?
Yeah.
And what grade are you in?
I'm in ninth. I'm supposed to be in tenth, but I'm in ninth.
Shocking.
Is he still in high school?
No, he dropped out.
All right. What's the plan, Stoner?
How did you know? No. Actually, I kind of took a year off of school to be a stoner. Yeah. I stopped that.
Okay. Let me explain something, Melanie. I have a superhuman shrinking brain that enabled me to do all the things you're doing and still literally be a millionaire.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see your future as being that bright. I think you're someone that's going to have to focus. You're going to have to study. You're going to have to not get pregnant. You have to not hang out with criminals. You're going to have to take a little less casual approach to your life.
Why is it people don't get the whole idea that, they, mostly their brain, is the instrument. That's the product. That's what they're developing to be able to go on in life with to succeed. That's it. Whatever much you pack in there and all the abilities you build, that's it. That's your instrument.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, part
ain't
of
nothing else.
Part of being stupid is not caring if you're stupid.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
That's a good point.
It's one of the cornerstones of stupid.
Yeah, but
it's hard to blame. It's like blaming a dog for being stupid.
But part of
it
is that no acknowledge. I understand they don't perceive their stupidity, but no acknowledgement of a desire to expand.
No.
The instrument.
Again, I make the argument that part of being stupid is maintaining your stupid status by not letting anything enter your brain.
There you go.
Yes?
Yeah.
All right. But
I'm getting depressed.
I'm depressed too. Actually, I don't care, Melanie.
Yeah.
But we'd still like you to be functional.
Uh huh.
You know, even if you're not going to thrive, we'd like you to survive.
Yeah. Well, see, I have issues with focusing. It's like actually, it's I've tried studying when I was stoned, and actually found it was easier to focus.
All right.
Yeah. Well, how about getting treated for your ADD then?
Is that what it is?
Yeah. That is.
All right.
Listen. Here, I'm now in the damage control mode, which is don't get pregnant.
Okay.
Please, God, no.
All right. That's one of my biggest fears.
Yeah, get on the pill. How about that?
No.
Why?
I don't know. I just don't want my mom to know because.
Well, she doesn't have to know. Go to Planned Parenthood. Get on the pill. Pregnancy is, first of all, she's going to know about that. Secondly, it's infinitely more risky than being on the birth control pill. Pregnancy is a disease state.
Infinitely means a lot.
A lot more dangerous.
Hey, right. Melanie.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you break up with this guy who dropped out of high school and is dating a ninth grader?
I don't know.
Okay. Right. Well, as long as you have important, valid reasons.
Frustration.
All right, just go ahead. Just listen. Here's my two things. Don't get pregnant, because I don't want to pay for your goddamn kids. And don't get drunk and run me over.
There you go.
That's my
or
decline.
Let your boyfriend do that.
I'm just cutting my losses.
Yeah, yeah. I hear you.
Forget about it. Everyone's not going to Harvard and going to come up with the cure for cancer. Let's just not.
We'll leave that up to you.
Well, if my brain wasn't shrinking, I would have come up with something probably before the end of the night.
Hmm.
But let's just not have you populating the earth with more tards and filling the prisons. That's my new thing.
Here.
Just damage control. As you know, I'd like to weed and not seed.
Yes.
They talk about weeding and seeding. I just want to weed. This is thin things out just a little bit. We don't have to seed. Amanda?
Yeah.
You're 20?
Mm-hmm.
What's up?
Okay. I had a baby 5 months ago, mm-hmm. and the baby's dad had, seen delivery and all that kind of stuff. And it seems, I have two things, but it seems like afterwards he is not interested in me at all. Sexually or nothing. I don't know if that's because a lot of people says it's because he was in the room and he had seen the delivery and everything. That's
traumatized.
What the PTSD? Why do we gotta be there? It's like a grenade went off in the vagina. I don't need that.
Adam wants to be like Fred McMurray.
But that was 5 years.
I want to be out of state. Forget about being in the room.
No, you want to be in some viewing area where the babies are brought in and you're out there smoking cigars.
What? I don't
with
want
other
to,
dads you've never met.
Listen, not only do I not want to see my wife splayed. I don't want to see any afterbirth on the kid's head either. I don't want a kid tainted. I want the kid hosed down, wiped down, putting some jammies, little name tag thing on the wrist. I want them all. I don't want to see him till junior high.
Well, I had the kid, and I'm over it. And it's been 5 months.
Yeah.
Well, that was my one problem because, I mean, he's not even interested in me at all. And I think
are you married?
Just because no.
Oh
my God, that's a commitment.
No,
that's true.
No,
that's
a whole
the kid's not
other issue for me.
I see the children just that's 18 years, but marriage, boy, that's
forever.
We got to deal with first before we even.
Oh yes, everyone deals with the kids before the marriage, of course.
Before I had a kid, we were very sexually, interested in each other, and so now this is just so much. This is just it's hard for me because I'm. Mm-hmm. Used to that. I want to have sex all the time.
Did you say how long they've been together?
How long you been together?
Basis, it's only been twice in 5 months.
How long you been with him?
3 years.
And has your body changed?
Actually, I'm a lot thinner than I was before. I was 125, and I'm about 125. So.
That's a lot thinner.
Yeah. Wow.
Hold on a second. Let me do the math. 125.
And now she is 125.
Hold on, I got zero.
Zero, she's way zero.
I'm minus 125.
How much does the female body change after birth? I mean, does it go back to the way it was
the
before?
The younger women, sometimes it can spring back, but as you get older, less and less so. A lot of change. It depends on the way.
By the way, what never changes is that image of the kid coming out that's
the
burnt in your psyche.
There are the vagina changes, the breast change, the body shape changes, the fat distribution changes.
Let's not be there. I, you know what? And I think we're at the point now where it's starting to turn the corner and go back to the other way.
Finally.
Don't need to be there.
Yeah, but this guy, something's wrong with him. He doesn't like being involved with a mom, basically.
Yeah. Amanda, so why aren't you married to this guy?
I'm not married to him because, he doesn't want to be,
He's not interested in being a father. He's not interested in having a committed relationship. But he's done.
He doesn't want to get married to you.
Not getting married is the same thing.
He doesn't want to be in a relationship with me now. And
you know, not getting married is the same thing as saying I'm bi. You know what I mean?
You're sending a message to the
person. You're saying when the time comes, it's bye bye. Either way, it's bye bye. Whether I'm bi, it's bye bye, or not, we're getting married.
What Drew was saying is when you announce, I got to do this in my relationship. When you announce to your partner that you're bi, you're essentially saying at some point in time I'm going to move on
for the same sex
or stray.
Yeah,
I got an agenda here. Yeah, I'm moving on. It's like when I announce I'm a rambling man. At a certain point, like it or not, I got to ramble. You know, I got to ramble on. You know what I'm saying?
Same thing with saying I'm not interested in marriage.
When you crank out a kid with someone you've been with for 3 years and you make the announcement that you're not interested in marriage,
that seems a little strange.
You're basically saying, I'm a rambling man.
I'm not going to stick around. There's no way.
Yeah. And the fact that he stopped having sex with her means he's sort of packing it in.
That's right.
He's getting ready to ramble.
Yes, he is.
You know what,
he's not into the kid thing. And I bet he had a dad that rambled.
Yeah.
And he's going to be just like the rambling
daddy
dad.
Rambled. His dad could have been a Rolling Stone, but he quite probably rambled.
Wherever he set his hat was his home.
This was his home. You know when you ramble, break of dawn. You never ramble about noon. No one ever sings, when I get up and I'm good and ready and I have a cup of coffee and I stretch out and read the paper, then it's rambling time. Rambling time is not 10:45 to 11:15 a.m.
No.
Sun comes
up. Everyone knows that.
Got to ramble.
That's right.
And let me tell you the other thing, too. Guys don't want to ramble. They have to ramble. They got to move on. You know what I mean? They tell the lady, hey, wish I could stay.
But I'm a rambling man. I'm not into marriage. I'm bisexual. I'm a rambling man.
And what time do you ramble?
About 7:30.
No.
5:30?
Crack of dawn. Crack of dawn.
Well, I live in Alaska.
Here's what I live in Alaska.
The break of dawn is like 7:30.
Here's what I would suggest. If you have to ramble, sleep at your own place that night. Don't sleep at the pork. You know, don't get up at 4:45 in the morning, wake her up as you're getting ready to ramble. The guy's brushing his teeth in preparation for rambling. The lights are on. He's woken her kid up. Sleep home at your apartment that night. It's much easier to ramble from your own pad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Good time.
Or move the rambling time back to noon.
Or ramble the night before.
I'm a rambling guy. I get a jump on the rambling night because I ramble about 8 a.m. 8 p.m.
Ramble after dinner.
When the streetlights come on, that's when I ramble.
Doesn't your throat hurt?
Oh, yeah. Anderson.
Oh, now he's going to talk.
I'm going to ramble all over your face. All right, I'm rambling. Drew, you want to ramble?
Let's ramble.
Who was Stank? Ready to ramble?
Let's go.
Let's ramble.
All right, we'll be back. Hey, everybody. Love Line. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew.
I'm Dan, and that's Doug.
That's right. Hoobastank, everybody. In the hizzy, as we like to say. And Michelle Branch in here tomorrow night. I think I'm going to write a song about being a stationary man.
Being a slothful man.
Lord, I was born a slothful man.
Lazy
watching
man.
That TiVo and beating it whenever I can. When you want me to leave the house, I hope you'll understand. I was born a slob.
Right where I am. Yeah.
My father was a stay-at-home dad. And my mother was on disability. Grandpa strung beads for a living and worked in the garden. And that's just where I want to be. And everyone kicks in, you know, and I talk about just watching T-Bone masturbating.
Yeah.
You know, I'm talking about like 5 in the afternoon. I'm wearing sweatpants with an erection and a house coat.
The video would be great.
Just be me on the sofa. We'd have to shoot at my house because I don't go out and do stuff.
That's right.
That'd be great. Yeah, and I'm explaining to my woman, like, I know you want me. First, I know you want to go on vacation over the Christmas holiday. I know you want me to see your folks out in Valencia.
But,
I know you got plans. But you got to understand.
I was born this way.
I got to be stationary.
I was born a stationary.
Dan, that's kind of like you and us. You know?
Yeah.
We never want to go out.
Yeah. And there's a baby. You're blocking the set. You know, and I'm just sitting there, and it's time to be stationary. And I do it at 11 a.m. That's when I get up to be stationary. I roll out of bed.
I sit back down.
I drag my lower. Yeah, that's one of the lines.
Oh, I get up to sit back down.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. Yeah, Lord, I was born a stationary man. Annette?
Yeah.
You're 19?
Yeah.
What's up?
I am having, like, really bad back problems, and it's just been getting worse over the years. part of the problem that my friends think is because I have a huge chest.
See, that's one of the things I would get up for as a stationary man, but ultimately I would have to sit back down, and I hope you would understand that I was a stationary man.
You wouldn't get very far.
Right.
How tall are you?
I'm 5'5".
How much do you weigh?
Can we not say that?
Well, it makes a difference in terms of how you're sort of proportioned. If you weigh 100 pounds, you know, that then it makes sense why your back would be having to support most of your body weight. But if you're 200 pounds, then it kind of doesn't make sense. I would be more concerned that the back pain was really from just being generally overweight than for the breast issue.
I'm like 160, but yeah, muscle and whatnot too, and my legs.
Sure, it's not, and there's bone. You got to count bone and
toenails,
skull,
hair.
Yeah, I mean,
seriously, I've been to a nutritionist, and he said that I'm gonna have more weight because of my muscle and my bone mass and whatnot, because they've calculated all that crap. And
all right. So, how big are the cans?
Double D's.
As a stationary man, you'd have to get on top if we did it. That's one of the things. I don't hump. It's like doggy style, not my style.
That's part. Hope you'll understand.
I was born a stationary man.
Oh my gosh,
it's hard for me to sit up just
belief.
To see.
What's that, Annette?
I was just saying, you have me blushing beyond belief right now. Thanks.
Double D. All right, and 19 years old.
Yeah.
All right. Where's your back pain? Where's the back pain?
Well, at work, it's because I work at a retail store, and I do a lot of, like, lifting and getting stuff for customers and whatnot.
No, I don't mean where are you when you have the pain. I mean, where in your back is the pain?
But let me also add that's something the stationary man could not do.
Lift and be retail. Yeah.
It's in my upper back.
Kind of work.
Sometimes I have pain in, like, my lower back and stuff, too.
Have you had physical therapy?
No, I haven't. I just, like, well, I went to, I don't know. I have Kaiser. They sent me to some doctor supposedly that was supposed to help me with my back pain by giving me exercises and them examining my back and whatnot.
Right.
And,
did you do the exercises?
Yeah. I still do them and everything.
Did that help?
No, it's not. And they're like, well, you know, you need to work on getting your muscles stronger and everything. And the thing that makes me upset is I've been in ballet. I've done all sorts of dance. I had wonderful posture, but it's just like now I'd rather, you know, hunch over a little more because it's more comfortable than just like I feel like it's such
well, maybe
a
it is. Maybe it is. Maybe it has something to do with the
All right. So what?
You consult with a cosmetic surgeon, yeah.
Yeah.
Is there any stretching you can do for that?
Well, again, it's the strengthening exercises and physical therapy, but she could even get a trainer to weight training, that sort of thing, try to build the muscles up to compensate for the weight coming forward. But a lot of surgeons would go ahead and operate on something like this if it's really affecting her badly. But with her thing, it's not entirely clear this is what it is, though. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Not entirely clear it's the breast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. A little yoga. I was thinking about yoga today.
Yeah.
Couldn't hurt.
Couldn't hide. Never.
I'm convinced I would feel much better if I did yoga. I just won't do it. You know what I'm saying?
There's a lot of things you'd feel better if you did, Adam.
Yeah, but I'm a stationary man.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, could you give me that? I'm a stationary man. You know what I mean? Yeah. I like my woman around. I want her. She has to understand I'm a stationary man. I may need another woman because who's gonna clip my toenails? Who's gonna fetch me popcorn from the kitchen? Who's gonna crack the beer? You gotta understand. Yeah, that's what I do.
Or what you don't do.
It's what I. What I don't do is what I do.
Right.
Oh, that's part of it. Yeah.
It's heavy, man.
That's poetic.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's go out on that heavy note.
Let's
take a little break. We'll be right back. Well, there you go. See, Drew, I had that sore throat, so I had to hold back on my talk.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It was tough, but we made it.
All right. I want to thank Hoobastank for coming in here tonight. Always a delight.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Come back sooner.
Yeah.
Hey, anytime. Hey.
Yeah, last time it's been like a year and a half.
Was it really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, let's do it again sometime then.
All right.
Sooner.
All right. The name of the album is The Reason. It is out as we speak. Michelle Branch in here tomorrow night. Until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. How's the Dr. Drew do, like, if I buy a book from you?
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.